Are you looking to sell your property without all the usual headaches associated with traditional property sales? Maybe you're looking for a straightforward, hassle-free, quick sale. We've got you covered at G67 Home Buyers. Ditch the stress of endless viewings, the waiting game with property chains, and the buyers missing deadlines. No matter the condition or location of your property, we're ready to buy. And guess what? We'll give you an instant cash offer, no traditional hoops to jump through.
We get it. Sometimes you just need to sell fast, and we're here to make that happen. We'll often be able to buy in just a few days. You no longer need to worry about the sale falling through after weeks or months. We have buyers ready now.
We handle everything for you, even paying your legal fees, and there is no hidden fees or estate agent commissions to pay. Just a smooth, easy sale with us by your side, helping you every step of the way. I am David Smith, and I will personally help you find a hassle-free solution to selling your property fast, beginning with a free, no-obligation cash offer for your property. Remember, I am here to help, so get in touch in the link below and let's chat.
Welcome back to another riveting episode of Social Sessions. Today we're delving deep into the heart and soul of Scottish boxing. We've got an electrifying lineup of guests that spans generations. The legendary Doherty brothers, Drew and Wilson, and the blazing star on the Scottish boxing horizon, Andy Tam. Now, whether you're a seasoned boxing fanatic or just someone looking for inspiration and fresh perspective, you're in for a treat. Today, we're not just talking punches and jabs, we're exploring the grit, determination and discipline that boxing instills in its practitioners, especially the youth. We look at the careers of the boxers and delve into the highs and lows of boxing world, getting an inside perspective on how the boxing world looks just now. We will look at much more in this exciting episode than just boxing. So welcome to Social Sessions, guys. Today we're here to talk about boxing and some of the stuff, the highs and lows. We're joined with Drew Doherty, Andy Tam and Wilson Doherty. So what I do with kind of all my guests, guys, is just kind of take these back through your history, just growing up and stuff like that. So I'll just start with you, Wilson. Where did you, Kendora went to? You can I grow up in Cumbernauld as well?
Kendora, all my life, Kendora Village.
So what was it like growing up there as a boxer and stuff like that? Were you more dedicated to, or did you ever get involved with kind of jumping about the streets and stuff like that?
Aye, we all, it's that village mentality. You've always got all your pals in, you're on about the same, but boxing kind of kept me off the streets because I was training most nights and all that. So.
Aye, because you get a lot of boxers and they kind of say like, kind of saved them for like going down that road of maybe drinking, addiction, kind of like that's just because they've got that in their life.
It just gives you a wee bit of discipline, dedication. You've got to work hard. It's a lonely sport, eh? And so you've got to spend a lot of time in the gym.
Aye.
To get where you want to go, eh?
Aye.
If you're that serious about it.
No, brilliant. What about you, Andy? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Abraham Hill Way, but grew up there for a couple of years, probably to 5 or 6, and then I grew up in Eastfield.
So that was Cumbernauld as well?
I'm Cumbernauld, aye.
So was it similar like you, like growing up, you kind of always in the gym and all that?
I kind of started boxing quite late, probably when I was at 3rd or 4th year at school kind of times. Well, I went when I was young in like primary school because I used to get bullied.
Aye.
And I joined for maybe about a year. And I threw him some hands, you know what I mean? And then I chucked it, and then I went back and high school time because I ended up in a fight and I was no bad. I'm sitting here by, I've got hands. Aye. I'm going to go back.
I can go and do it.
Go smoke someone.
What about you, Drew? But you were obviously the same as Wilson, Kendora, Cumbernauld and that as well.
Sean, my dad had a pair of boxing gloves in the house, one pair of boxing gloves, right? Aye. And I used to get a left hand because I was the oldest, and Wilson get the right hand because I was the youngest, right? And that's where we started off, in the house. And then one day my dad went down to Croy to a boxing show.
Aye.
And he asked Mr. Bill Clinton, Pat Clinton's father, aye, if we could join the club.
Aye.
And he wasn't allowed to go because he was 3 years younger than me, right? But aye, he went, he says, I'll just let you go. And aye, you know, aye, that was history. Ever for then
and that was it.
Boxing, aye.
So was your dad, kind of into boxing? Was he a boxer? Or?
My dad was into boxing, but my dad's dad was killed in Auchengee pit disaster.
Right.
In 1948, I think it was. No, 1956.
His dad 1956. His dad was going to take him to Sparta Club in Edinburgh, and his dad got killed in the Auchengee pit disaster, and he always wanted to box, eh? So, because it never happened to him, he ended up putting us in it.
Aye. That's a brilliant man.
Big passion.
Obviously, it's Kilsyth and Croy, that's kind of where you fought out, wasn't it?
Croy.
It was Croy. Kilsyth never had a boxing club at the time, and see the... We'd been through a lot of trainers, Tony Weldon, Tosh Weldon, Michael Clinton, Bill Clinton, Pat Clinton's father.
Aye.
The, all the Clintons were all involved Jimmy in boxing. Clinton. Jimmy Clinton, he was ABA champion.
They were all champions.
Aye.
Because Pat was a world champion.
Pat was a world champion.
Scottish, British, European world.
So what kind of level was, I'll take it to you, Wilson, first, what kind of level was, did your boxing career actually get to? Where did you fight for a world title? Or was
no,
it,
I fought for the British a couple of times. I won the world WBO title at featherweight, went to two Commonwealth games. We boxed amateur all over the world. We went everywhere. European championships, world championships, two Commonwealth games. He's got a bronze in the 86 Edinburgh, bronze in the Commonwealth Brilliant. Games.
Because I was obviously, when I was researching these, I've got so much today with like Scottish boxing history. Mm-hmm. These are kind of involved in a lot of the kind of stuff, do you know what
Aye.
I mean? So obviously, what was probably your biggest moment, Wilson? What would you say was your highest moment in boxing?
Probably winning the WBO title.
Aye.
It's Nando's Sporting Club, aye.
Who was that against?
Paul Harvey for Islington, London.
Aye. A knockout or a...
No, 12 rounds. 12 hard rounds.
12 hard rounds.
Aye, it was good.
What about you, Andy? Like, what about your box? Obviously, you're still going, you're kind of, but where did your boxing career start and how is it kind of flourishing now? You're doing well now.
I mean, I went to Broadwood Boxing Club. Wilson started going with my mom, and then he started coaching me as well. I improved my footwork massively. I used to just walk about like a wee robot. And then Wilson started coaching me, so did Drew as well. Went to the Worlds. Europeans, multi-nations as an amateur. So I done pretty well, aye, because I was guided quite well.
Guided, aye.
Now he's a Scottish featherweight professional champion.
Ah, brilliant, man. And what about you, Drew? Obviously, I know you did fight for the world title, but what was your kind of highest moment in the boxing?
See, to tell the truth, you miss out a lot of your highest points because you go to different levels, eh? You're amateur and your highest thing is winning the Scottish title.
Aye.
And the reason I turned pro was to win the British title because I was in the final twice of the ABA championships as the British amateur Aye. Championships and I got beat twice by a guy called John Lyons and I was never going to get it.
Aye.
So I says, I'm turning pro. I thought I beat him the last time I fought him and Aye. I says, I'm never going to get it.
Aye.
So I'm turning pro and I'm going to win the British title and that was all I wanted to do.
Aye.
And end up going further than that and fighting for all title and European titles and that. I never won them.
Aye.
But I achieved my ambition.
Aye.
I won the British title.
I know, it's what I mean.
Plus the Lonsdale belt out, right?
Aye, I won the Lonsdale belt out.
Aye. The most prestigious trophy in the world, the sport, eh? That was his dream to win one of them, he won one.
Because obviously, like, with boxing, obviously, we're kind of privy to watching, like, obviously, your big Tyson Furies and all, like, the big fights. But obviously, you guys are kind of in amongst the boxing the world. And so, you all know, like, there's a lot more. Tear in there, like, as in, like, it's not just all about the big titles, and it's like there's a lot of kind of things that, like, underground stuff in there, like the Lonsdale belt that you're talking about. People,
Aye.
So, obviously, where I'm kind of trying to go with this is like, obviously, just to see how boxing can kind of change the way you think, a bit of discipline and stuff like that. So what would you say, like, obviously. For like young guys and stuff like that, because this podcast kind of goes into a lot of times about like crime and how guys take that road down addiction or whatever, and we just look at different things. And I always think boxing's a great outlet for guys that maybe go down that road. So even like if you got any kind of examples or stuff like that when you maybe could have went down that road or the boxing kind of saved you for that.
I'll give you one, Sean. I boxed all the time for I was 11-year-old, right? And Wilson was younger, right? But our pals were all standing at the corners, right?
Aye.
And we were all going in the bus to the boxing every night, right? And you're like, you want to stand about the corner, right?
Aye.
But you don't want to let the boxing team down day.
Aye.
So you go to the boxing and you try and Wilson chucked it for 3 years.
To play football.
Because it's kind of...
I wasn't very good at football, so I went back.
Back in the boxing.
So,
he was coming home with all the trophies, not the medals, and a bit jealous. Started the boxing again.
Aye. But that's what I'm saying, eh? It's hard. Your pals are all stunned at corners, and you're wanting to stun them.
So you're geeing up a wee bit of your childhood.
You're geeing up.
Aye. You're geeing a massive true. Part of your childhood up in young adult life, so... It's a lot of...
Young Andrew's there, he's agreeing with us, he's only a young boy, right? And he's saying, he's I'm going to, you can't go.
Even when I was going to training, we'd be walking down, Wilson stayed with me, we used to live in Eastfield, walking down the Broadwood Boxing Club, walking down, saw my pals at the bus stop, all right, Andy, what's happening? I'm away training, she's later.
Aye.
But by the time you come home, it's it. Finished training at 8.
But it's great for young.
Back up the road, dinner. You better do your homework, son. Get back to bed and get back up for the morning.
But I suppose it's like when you're looking at the way a lot of, because obviously we all know guys that took the Rang Road, right? And we all know guys that went down and friends and stuff like that. We all know pals, we've both got friends that kind of went down the Rang Road. Look what happened to me, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Fights happen, bad things happen. So obviously, like, when I remember at school, I don't know if you know Patrick Phillips, but he was a really good boxer.
Kevin.
Patch was always like well respected in school, and nobody would like bother with him or anything, because he didn't drink or anything, he didn't hang about the streets or anything. So I would imagine that would be kind of similar to you guys then, like just kind of in the way that do you feel that you miss out? Is there a part of you that does feel as if you're missing out in that childhood?
When you're putting all that sacrifice and your pals are hanging about and you're going to training every night. You do miss out a lot in your young childhood and young adult life, and sometimes when you finish boxing, you start having a wee drink.
It's because that's boxing, you're right, you reflect on it.
Aye.
You know what I mean, Sean? You reflect back, like when you're doing it at the time,
you're a bit lost.
You're maybe no sure of what you're missing.
Aye.
But when you look back, you go, I missed.
Aye, I missed a part of hell of a lot there.
Aye. And then you go, as he said, you go out for a drink. And you hit the drink and all that, and maybe that's how people like football players and late boxers and that end up alcoholics, you know what I mean?
You're a bit lost after the Stokes game. You don't know what it is. It's good to go back into coaching and put something back into the sport.
Definitely.
And help the young ones, because it's like army mentality. See the respect you get, you get pals for life, bleeding noses together and cuddling after it and going out and playing. But you've got pals for life. It's the discipline, the dedication, and it's work mentality.
Aye.
Your work ethic and all that.
Definitely.
It helps young boys brings their confidence on and everything, and brings them out their shell.
Aye.
Maybe shy boys is getting bullied and all that, and they go to the gym, nobody laughs at anybody in the gym, everybody tries, and you make pals for life. And
you make a mistake, Sean, you help the guy. It's all help.
Imagine a guy just like that wasn't very good at boxing, right, but wanted to come in and train and stuff, he would still get the respect to the gym.
He would still be made welcome.
Boys come in and they're shy to try and learn to skip and all that, and everybody started at the same place as you're starting the noon. But see, in a couple of weeks, you love it once you come out there.
It's a confidence builder. See, just going there and knowing how to skip, just to skip my boxing's talking about.
Aye.
You go, it's all right, everybody's the same. And you go, all right. And they start getting belief in themselves. All right, if I make a mistake when I'm skipping here, I'm all right, the boys know.
Nobody laughs at anybody in a boxing jungle.
I couldn't skip for 2 years.
Aye.
I used to just hide in the corner, jog in the spot, pretending I had ropes in my hand, I'd just run the spot.
It's good if they're never going to be a boxer and they're just even at the box club for a couple of years. It changes their mindset and everything to be. Helps me work.
So I'm going to ask you this, right? Obviously, like I was in prison for a long time, right? And there's a lot of stuff. There's people try different things in prison to help guys and all that. But I often think that, I know it'd be crazy, right? But often even like boxing training, because there was a few guys in, obviously there was Scott Harrison was in at one point. There was a few boys as well for Edinburgh that I knew that were boxers and stuff. And guys loved training with them. Guys loved, I know guys that trained with Scott and they loved training, doing the boxing training. Do you think, I often thought it would be good if somebody came in and actually done some boxing. I know that sounds mild, getting guys to in a prison to show them how to fight, but it's also showing them that discipline, dedication, that maybe they could take on outside, do you know what I mean?
It's discipline, Sean, you're right, because do you know what, Pat Clinton's father, Pat Clinton was world champion, obviously, right? Pat Clinton's father, and all his brothers and that all box, right? But Pat Clinton's father, see, before we went into spar, as discipline goes, right, he used to say, right, hands out. And you went up with your hands, right, and see if your hands were dirty.
Aye.
You were in the spar.
Aye.
You'd washed your hands and you'd kept yourself. And
I knew you had to do
that's
it.
That's it, aye.
Aye.
But, right, next thing you go get gloves on.
You got the road and wash. Don't come back to you wash your hands and all that.
Aye.
So,
I've got to like, can I ask you like, what maybe other people, like you've got other people that are against boxing and stuff and say that they shouldn't be boxing, there shouldn't be people fighting and stuff like that. What would you kind of say to these people? Because obviously you do get the people that say it shouldn't be allowed, it's this, it's that. I do get, I understand where they're coming from, but it's not my point of view. I think boxing's a great sport, but what would you say to the kind of people that
all these sometimes do gooders, but it's a, they say they want to ban it because it's barbaric.
Aye.
You're actually in there trying to do a guy damage, aye, knock them out and that. But look at all the other sports, there are people dying fishing every year and things like that. There is, but in
aye,
other
sports,
you don't realise, Sean, how many lives it saves.
Aye.
If you can do that bad road, and
it does you good though.
And what it does you for your future, with the discipline, respect, no, it's more than.
Oh, it's a lifestyle. Aye. Because I love Gervonta Davis, right? I love him. I think he's brilliant, right? But I mean, he's got a terrible like backstory. Do you know what I mean? Like he was in the gangs. He was and he was took away. And it just that I think that story shows you just. Aye. How much boxing can actually change your life, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
So just, I'll take you on to kind of like, the kind of others, the kind of lows of the boxing and the stuff that kind of, when you maybe lose a fight, how disappointing is that? Do you have a lot of down moments with that? Is there a lot of kind of down moments when you lose a fight? And I can imagine that would be a kind of...
Yeah, you can be really down, but...
Well, I'll take you the ball.
It's no longer you... build yourself up again and start going for it again, eh? Because it's your passion, it's what you want. You want to win and you want to succeed. Aye. So if you have a setback, it's heartbreaking and you're down, but you just get back into training and go for it again.
So if we can look at like the kind of low moments, I know obviously there's a lot of kind of sport in general. As we were talking about like mental health, your mental health can come into... get affected by anything, like obviously losing a fight, whatever. But once that career, you know, obviously experience this, Andy, but once your career's finished, I've spoken to a lot of football players, like you kind of lost sometimes when you go, where do I go in my life here? Like, you know what I'm talking about?
You're lost because I've been involved in boxing now for 46 years and when I stopped boxing, you stay away from the gym for a wee while. But you've got to find something to do your time because you're lost without that sport, eh? And it's good to get back into it and put something back into the sport that people done for you.
Aye.
I can't even imagine.
Amateurs don't get paid any money, and it's just the guys that are helping you are doing it for nothing, and it's amazing how they sacrifice, their own family life.
See, Wilkes and Caesar, the boys are helping you for nothing, right? See, when you put yourself in that position, how hard it is, Sean, right? See, I hardly go to the training now, right? Aye. But I used to be doing there every night with Andy and that, right? And see, coming in for work after a hard shift, right? And you sit down, you don't want to get back up.
Aye.
You know what I mean? You've had a hard shift and they boys are getting up.
Aye.
And getting their dinner on the way down to training and helping us out, and you're forever ever grateful, you know what I mean?
Aye,
they're doing it for nothing but love the sport.
Aye, it's for the love. So obviously, like, what do you think of that, Andy?
I was off for a wee bit for being sick.
Aye.
I was off for like 3 weeks. I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing.
Aye.
I was like, what am I supposed to do today?
Mm.
I was like, after work, coming in, obviously you're tired, but I was like, usually I'm off to train, I'm like, fuck me, man, what am I going to do tonight?
Watch
TV? I was like, I'm fucking sick of this TV, man. I want to go out and run.
Aye.
And I don't even like running. I'd rather go out training. I did come down for like, just try and help the boys out and that.
He's been no well for a couple of weeks. We started the coaching a wee bit and taking people in the paddocks and that. So that's what he'll do after his boxing career's finished, eh? I'm sure.
Brilliant. No, it's just obviously like, I'm obviously just looking at how, because obviously like, any sport, any kind of thing, right? And obviously, it seems to be when you've got a passion for something, when that goes away, you'll feel that now. But once you lose that passion, maybe not lose the passion, but you lose the sport, and you've still got the passion, that could probably be, I can imagine, quite hard to deal with, like in the way that we had Andy McLaren on, and Andy often talks about when he left football, and he just says, I just don't even know what to do with myself. He says, I was actually like, didn't know where to go. So is it more kind of like, because you see a lot of boxers and that, they go down the kind of path of drinking and stuff like that after they come out, and is that just because of that, do you think?
I think it's because you gave up a lot of your young adult life and with pals and everything like that. Now, much you finish boxing, you're lost because you're not doing it anymore and you don't know what to do yourself. You've got so much time in your hands, and that's how it's good to get back in and put something into it. Because see, when you're bringing young boys on, you see them succeeding, they're doing something, you're telling them, and it's working in the gym and that, and it brings them on confidence-wise and everything. So I think getting back to the boxing, because you're lost without something you've had your life so long.
So you go through a stage of kind of losing it, but then when you get back into coaching
and
stuff.
It takes a while when you finish boxing, you're lost a wee bit to maybe go back and do it again, because you don't really want to do it without boxing.
You know what I mean, Sean? You've got a purpose. It's like a mission. When you're trying to win titles and all, you're trying to win this and you're trying to win that, and you've got a goal and you're going to training every night and that, but see, when that's finished, you've no discipline, no regime, know what I mean?
And there's, obviously I'm not trying to get in the boxing world, right, but I'm just, I often say this, there's not a lot of help, and even like we were talking to a guy yesterday who was a soldier, who was in the French Foreign Legion, and he was in the and after it, you really need to be headstrong, because when you've got that problem that you don't know where to go, it's dead easy to pick up a drink or go down the road of drugs and stuff.
I think if it's like any sport, I think once you finish your career in anything, it's not just boxing, but everybody's lost, eh? If they've been involved in something so long.
Aye, some sort of sport or the army or anything like
that. You've not done it anymore. It's just something's missing, eh?
Aye.
And maybe that deals, that contributes to your mental health, because you're just a wee bit lost. And
no, definitely. I think it's the same as like any kind of, because Andy, you'll probably not experience that now, but you're saying you experience it while you kind of, I'm just like, well, you're old, you know what I mean?
Just after a couple of weeks.
So you probably do need to be that kind of headstrong way, in the way that you kind of, when you do finish, your career finishes, that you
it's
need.
It's hard, Sean, because see, you understand, see when you start off boxing, you're in there just to box and to spar, and you've not got any ambitions, right? And then all of a sudden you win a title and you go, I'm gonna stay at this, as Andy said, I'm no bad at this.
Aye.
And then you win another title, and then you win another title, and then you win another title. And then you maybe win a few amateur titles, and then you go, what do I do now? And then you go, I'm going to turn pro.
Aye.
And you try and take it to the next level. I suppose it's the same for everybody.
Aye.
And then you're in that deep, you can't get out.
Do you think there's enough help at the other side for boxers?
No. But every sport, as I said, people are hit a lot more headstrong than others to deal with after that. But some people suffer. A lot of people suffer if you've been a bit lost in the hunt today with their time, and they'll probably go to the pub for company socialising and.
You need to find yourself like a new hobby. You know what I mean? Become a painter. I don't know, whatever floats your boat. Yeah, you just need to find something to fill your time, what you would have done.
Put all your knowledge back into boxing, eh?
No, that's coaching, so that's where most people go, but if you don't, then I guess that's why people go, fuck it, I'm going to
it's good that people have done it for us, and then you see young boys, if you're coaching them, after what people done for you, and you see them coming on, that's, take a lot of gratification out of that, eh? Somebody succeeding.
Oh, definitely.
And it's good.
Because I can imagine, like, obviously, I think with a lot of sports and stuff like that, there should be a bit more help for guys in direction wise and where they're going. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously, if you've no go at that big, and even guys that have got a lot of money, like Ricky Hatton and Tyson Fury, that when they finish their career, they go down that path as well. It doesn't matter how much.
Yeah, maybe it should be help.
Maybe remember who it was that told us, but I can't mind who it was. But a wee guy we know was at the boxing, and he's working on a building site now, eh? See, because of the damage, getting down that road, the damage to the brain it causes, But there's people on the building site now taking the pee.
Aye.
I don't know if there's any help for footballers, not Sean, but there should be some sort of help, something set up for boxers after they've finished their career, eh?
Definitely. I think, especially with, I mean, look at American football, right? You look at American football, they're talking about that, and they talk about the damage that does. A lot of boxers will disagree, and say, I mean, an amateur, you've got the helmet and that on, didn't you? And stuff like that. But obviously, there's a lot of people out there that would say, oh, it's, as you say, it's barbaric, stuff like that. But as we were talking about earlier, football players are told, like, with their head injuries, just with head on the ball and stuff like that.
But because of the rugby, there's a lot more injuries and deaths, and football's a lot of deaths with head on the ball, isn't it? But it's these do-gooders that want... There's so much good boxing does for the world, but it's the barbaric side to see that you're actually going out there to try and cause somebody damage, yeah?
But you're not actually, are you? You're not... Like,
you're trying to knock people out, aye.
You're not... Aye, aye, of course, I know that. You're not...
Concuss them.
No, but you've not got that in your brain, Sean. No. You're right. You're not going to do anybody
any harm or damage, but you do want to knock them out.
Ah, of course, you want to get the knockout, but I think...
But that's the way these people want to ban it. They make it as if we're taking this. We just want to win the fight, and if it's a knockout, it comes out well, good enough. But you're not actually trying to hurt somebody.
No.
Barry McGuigan brought out a thing. There's Sean Wright, it was a boxing union, but it ended up falling on its face. There were people, we were all putting into it and all that, and expecting them to help us and that, and it never helped, right?
Aye.
But that's what I'm saying. It needs something if promoters or managers brought out a pension for boxers. When they finish boxing, they'll be taken care of.
Aye.
Something like that, because when you finish boxing, you've got something, you've been doing all that routine or whatever, never mind the damage it causes to you. But they've been doing that routine for years and years, and then the next minute it's shut off.
Aye.
And you can't go to work, you can't do work, you're no use to it. And so if they bring out a pension or something, you know what I mean?
Aye. As they're talking that, is it like, because obviously I know, like you look at Mike Tyson and stuff like that, and you even look at the way his promoter, who was it, Don King, and the money that's get stole off boxers for years, and I think that it's starting to change now, and the boxers starting to get a wee bit more wider to it and starting to kind of do their self-promotion and stuff like that.
It all depends on your manner, you know what I mean?
Aye.
Some people look into all that and are business people at heart.
Aye.
Me and Wilson are not business people.
No,
we just think these people are fair. We trust people.
I know.
So we just think these promoters and that are fair. And,
have you been kind of shunned, but have you been on the bad side of it before? Like where you have been kind of fucked by?
I think everybody has. I think you take all the punches and I think you feel as if you've been wronged money wise, things like that. It happens in every profession, but boxing's the worst for it, I think, eh?
That
you don't get paid for what you're sacrificing, taking all the punches, all the months training, and at the end of the day,
And do you need these promoters? Like in the way, because we've had guys like...
Ah, you need them, eh?
Andy Henderson as well, who's in the music industry, and basically he said, he signed a contract and with Sony, and they basically dropped him. And they were left, they didn't know what to do and stuff like that. And then the contract actually, basically said that he had to do another three albums with that, even though they didn't want the three albums, so he couldn't go to another.
That was the Daikinis, wasn't it?
The Daikinis, right. Aye, Andrew, aye.
Aye, worked with me and his dad, the two boy, brothers worked with aye. Ricky Laban.
Cracking boys, but terrible. What they did, you know what I mean? So they can't even go on and make music. But is that similar to boxing?
Mike Tyson says a while back, showing that, now we get paid off the manager promoter.
Aye.
But we're actually the boxers. I think it's us, you know, we should be paying them.
Definitely.
They're paying us.
And how did that come about? Do you know how did
it's like... meant to be a percentage, right? It's
aye.
Meant to be managers get 25%, trainers aye. Get 10%.
Aye.
But the manager is in charge of the money. As I said, if you're interested in the boxing, you're training all the time and you've not got a business seat on you and you're not thinking about anything like that.
No.
All you do is say, what am I getting for this? And say, you're getting this.
Sean, she like say, no, the money we got, but if you see a boxer get £1 million purse,
aye.
You've got your 10% of trainer, 100 grand, 25% to your manager, 250 grand, 40% to the tax man. So you're left with a quarter of £1 million out of £1 million.
Is it? So see,
and
when you...
And you're huge,
you know,
the damage and all the rest of it. And
I don't look at it that way because you hear
you hear the top figure
don't you
realise what they're left with after see when you get into professional boxing and it's money
aye
you don't really know who you can trust
no.
and who's backstabbing you and that. But see when you're amateur and these boys are coming to the gym, they're going to work in the morning. They're going to work in the morning. They're coming home. They're going right to boxing training. They see Mary as what they were seeing their
family,
kids.
Aye.
Growing up and what they're sacrificing for nothing.
Aye.
And it was a professional, when money's involved, you don't really know who to trust. But these guys are doing it for love of the sport, and because they love you, and you trust them more than anything.
Is that why a lot of guys amateurs, like a lot of guys?
Boys are doing it for nothing and to help you, and it's sacrifice their own family life. Aye. And that, and it's a happier place. Amateur was brilliant.
Aye. So what about you're pro the new, and how do you see the, like, obviously it's a different time scale, different generation, right? So how do you see the promotion, the promoters and stuff? Like,
I don't have a fucking clue. See, to be honest, half the time, I don't know if maybe it's just because I'm quite oblivious sometimes. I just live life like my heed in the clouds, man. I don't really pay attention. But sometimes people are like, Andy, should somebody, you know, like, let you know beforehand? And I'm like, somebody just phoned me last week and told me I'm fighting such and such day, so I better start getting back to training. Well, knows if I take time off, but I was like, I better get back to training.
So it sounds as if it's like, I mean, obviously you hear a lot of people saying boxing's a really corrupt sport at times, when the higher it goes and stuff. Do you think that there's any truth in that? Like, with it, you watch some fights, right, and you go,
well, right enough, did you not see the fight last night?
Clearly won that.
Natasha Jonas.
Well, what about that? Mayor
won it easy.
Well, I thought she won it.
She lost two rounds or something, Mayor.
Was that last night?
Last night, uh-huh. Natasha Jonas was fighting. I put it on Michaela, Facebook. No way, yeah. Jonas won that fight. But she got a decision because it was a hometown decision, eh? And promoters are in with judges and the rest of it. I think, I don't know, but it's so bad for boxing. You see all these corrupt decisions when people put their life and soul into training for just a judge or that, just to take it off them, eh? World champion, it happened to be Drew. I thought Drew won the world title, but he was fighting against a Puerto Rican where the WBO is based in Puerto Rico. The top man for Puerto Rico was over, and people had him winning with one or two.
What's that?
The people over, everybody in boxing, they knew about boxing, Barry McGuigan, Glenn McCrory, and all that. They had Drew winning one or two rounds, and the judges gave it six rounds against them, just because it was a political decision, eh?
Aye, of course. It was, I mean, how can that be fair if it's
and
so...
It's ruined his dream of becoming a world champion, eh?
Aye.
Just all the effort, all the work he put in, and just
I seen it with Floyd Mayweather. I don't know if you ever seen the Olympics, when he... I mean, he clearly won
that. You fought that boy?
I fought that boy in the European Championships, Serafim Todorov. That's my claim to fame. The last guy ever to beat Floyd Mayweather. That's me. <Yes.
laughs>
I fought him, aye.
That's mad. So there is a, like, in the world, in the boxing world, there is a kind of level of, like, it's kind of well-known thing that it's kind of even between the guys, it's known that it's...
It's very political. I mean, when Drew fought for an ABA title against John Lyons, and this is no word to lie, he was out shaking hands with the judges before the fight. They had engraved the trophy, supposedly, before the fight, and he won it, and they gave it a decision against him. He was going for his record, seven ABA titles.
John Lyons was going for the record, seven ABA titles.
We used to go to Olympic squad training, me and Drew, and all the English boys were probably where they used to take him out to John Lyons and that. You never won that fight, John. Drew beat you, not here, right?
So there's a bit of camaraderie, like...
Oh, it's wherever you go fighting, hometown decision, that when you go down to England, an amateur fight or something like that, judges are kind of favoured by the hometown, you know. Aye.
I don't know whether they should get down the computer scoring with pros and all. Showing, you know,
I
mean,
I've seen this.
They started, well, I think they're away from it now, Wilson, the computer scoring. Aye, but
back to the normal.
No, it's a bad thing.
If you want to press a button, you press a button, didn't you?
Aye, I didn't like it. Computers.
No.
I know.
So there's obviously, like, been a few fights I've watched. I watched Triple G versus Canelo, and I thought Triple G hammered him, but the support Canelo's got in that South American thing, it's like,
I know,
as if they don't want him.
He's a promoter dream, that's why.
Aye.
But see, the time Floyd Mayweather fought Canelo Alvarez and all, and Floyd Mayweather schooled him, and it was a 2-1 majority decision, just because who he is and the money he, now in Las Vegas, he's Stoud when he fights in that.
Oh, he's
a moneymaker, eh?
And he has been famous like 15 or something. He was like went pro when he was really young and all that. So I'll just even ask you, like, so what's the best fight you've ever been in, Drew? Who's the best? Your favourite fight that you can remember?
I've no got a favourite fight, then I'm like, fine. No. I don't know, probably a world title fight when I got the decision against me, but which I won it. Win. I thought I won it, you know what I mean? Aye.
What about you, Andy? What's your favourite fight?
Fight that I've been in?
Aye.
Oh, it must have been the one I won that title. Aye, of Scottish title there. It was great.
Aye. What about you, Wilson?
Probably won the WBO fairweight title, but...
So is it mainly when you win a title, is that... Just can't beat that.
And there was another fight, I was in the Commonwealth Games in 1990 in New Zealand, and I just loved being in the fight, even though Harry Camden said it was the worst decision he ever seen in amateur boxing. They gave a decision against me, but it was one of the fights I just loved.
It's because you're fighting the local boy, wasn't it?
I was number 10 in the world, Eddie Yonan, and in New Zealand it was kind of a hometown decision and all, but I loved the fight when it was fighting there, just making him look silly and...
So I used to play football, and obviously sometimes when you were playing, you did get that. It was just flown for you. Did you get that in boxing or not? Just some fights you were just like,
just happening.
And then other times it just didn't happen for you.
Sean, do you know something? See, when I'm thinking about it, see my most rememberable fight, the one I wanted to win the most, it was a British title.
Aye.
I forgot about that. That was my ambition. That's why I turned pro, because I kept getting... bad decisions done in England.
Aye.
I turned pro to win the British title, so that was my biggest fight. That was my biggest achievement. You know what I mean? I wanted to win the British title.
Aye.
So I wanted to win the British title, and I said to my dad, I said to Wilson, I said to my family, all I wanted to do is turn pro and win the British title. I achieved a lot more than that, right? But that was all I wanted to do.
So it was brilliant coming for the wee gym we were in with Pat Clinton being so successful, because Drew lost a European title fight to Vincenzo Castro fairly and all, and Kelvin Hall. He should have won that.
Aye.
And I thought he should have been European and world champion.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because I can't remember his name, the boy from Edinburgh. I think he lost that last fight as well. Was it Josh Taylor?
I thought he'd get beaten fought the wrong fight, but Drew said it before. It's good to see one of your boys getting a wee hometown decision. It normally goes against us wherever we go. Going to happen. It's a hometown decision. It was a rang decision, but...
Take it.
Sometimes it's good when you see it happen to a Scottish boy. Eh?
Aye. So, do you think, obviously, like, looking at the kind of decisions and all that and stuff, is it... What is it like when it does go against you? Obviously, I can imagine it'd be really hard on your kind of
when I get that, as Wilson said about Vincenzo Bucastro, when I get that decision against me, I was in the dressing room greeting my eyes out, man, cuddling my wife and greeting my eyes out. No, just couldn't go over it, man.
Because you
put so much effort in it, you know what I mean, Sean? So much effort, man, that you think you're not contemplating getting beat.
Aye.
You're just
after what you've been through, and it's just the emotions all come out the end of it. Eh?
Ah, of course. You see quite a lot of guys just wanting after the fought, just if they get beat, they just don't want to even talk. Right. They just kind of off, and then you get other things like when I don't know if you remember when Joshua took the mic or that. It was quite embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, what the fuck's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just emotion, isn't it, in the way that
he took defeat badly, and he wanted to come in and talk about him to be centre of attention.
I know.
But he should let the guy have his limelight, eh?
Definitely. So, obviously, like, boxing's taking a different step, right, and it's gone into kind of, like, mixed MMA fighting and stuff. What do you make of that?
I don't like it. It's a con, and it generates a lot of money. But it's just no very good boxers fighting YouTubers and that.
Aye, so is it kind of like patronising when you see these guys?
Aye, a lot of boxers wouldn't even watch the fight. A lot of them wouldn't pay for it to see it.
Aye.
Wouldn't pay for the pay-per-view for it.
In my mind, the boxers are kind of playing up to you. Like Floyd Mayweather were going in fighting Jake Paul and all that, they're letting these guys go the distance instead of just knocking them out and showing them what boxers can do.
Just for payday.
Because obviously Tommy Fury had the big thing, didn't he, with Jake Paul, and obviously beat him, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
But I mean, Jake Paul is actually, he's not bad. Like, yeah,
he's training for years, and he's good boys that train him, eh? So they know what they're doing with him, and he's coming on.
Obviously, a fight that I was kind of, I love David, I do love UFC, so, but I thought Big Ngannou beat Fury, I think. Obviously, you guys
will. Very close, man.
Aye.
I thought
Fury done the most work, eh? But because he was pushing him back, maybe it looked, now Ngannou was in the centre of the ring, it looked as if he was now controlling the fight and that. But when you look at it, Fury landed the more punches, I think
he probably did, but I wasn't really paying attention. I just put it on the back. It's all about
money.
How many social media followers you've got now, Ryan Garcia and Giovanni. That's what sells tickets, eh?
Aye, it's definitely took in a different pay-per-view way when you guys were there, eh?
Aye. Like, as you were saying there, right? It's about how many tickets you can sell.
Aye.
If you might become a successful boxer, it's how many tickets you can sell. I think, see how far you go.
I think now you don't get paid unless you sell so many tickets. We didn't have to do that.
We didn't need
but the amateur Andrews, I think they've got to sell so many tickets to get paid, if you know.
Is it?
Usually, aye. Sat another long slides, aye.
That's crazy, isn't it? Because, I mean, obviously, we were talking about kind of like the promotion and stuff, but you also get good promoters who, like, take care of the boxers and stuff like that. And obviously, you guys have obviously took Andy. So there's a good side to it as well. Like, obviously, you can talk about the bad side of it, but there's also good promoters and stuff like that as well, no? Wilson's not like that, But,
but at the end of the day, you're doing all the work, you're doing all the sacrifice. Aye, they're a businessman, obviously you need them, but
I think they look who was for best for you, I would hope so.
I hope so.
They're looking out for the best for you, I guess.
Because obviously, it's the future of boxing is obviously looking completely different to when you guys would have been, you would have imagined where it's going the way, like.
No, I know with us cage fighting and all that, and never believed it in my life, to be honest. I mean, I can't even imagine these two. I know it's happening, but it's hard to imagine Jake Paul going in with this one,
Floyd Mayweather
and all that, man. You're going, boxing's boxing.
Aye.
Cage fighting is cage fighting.
Aye.
But that's the way the world's going. It's the way the world
is. A lot of these people are willing to pay the money to watch it, you know what I mean? It's generating money, and you get people paying fortune to go and see WWE and all that, and it's
I can't criticise it. If these guys are making money, they're happy. You know what I mean? That's it.
I suppose if somebody's offering you £100 million, you're not going to say no.
If you're in that situation, if Jake Paul asked me to fight him £3 million, I'll no bother.
We'll shovel shite for a tenner.
They're different levels, eh?
Aye.
To the YouTubers, just learn it. There's boys like I was 9 when I started, I was 11, that do not a life that if they fought any of the guys that were top of the boxing, they would get doing. If it was a real fight,
aye,
and a real fight.
So, do you think, obviously, like Tyson Fury, do you think he took him lightly? Then,
aye, he underestimated him, he didn't train properly, and you could see it the way he was because it'd been. The fighting the good fighters brings out the best in Tyson Fury.
Aye.
So when he fights Usyk, and I think he'll beat Usyk.
Aye.
Anthony Joshua, I think when he's got a big task, he trains hard on his
underestimated.
He said after that Ngannou fight that he was in a hard training camp, right? But looking at the shape of him, you go, he's not been trained for us. He's underestimated Ngannou.
Aye.
You know what I mean? He's underestimated him.
So do you think as boxers and kind of that have grew up through that history of boxing, you're more accepting of somebody like Ngannou that can actually fight rather than...
I've
never seen him before.
You can see, that's right, Wilson, that's what I was going to say. See when you see non-boxers getting in a ring,
aye,
you go, that guy's doesn't even know how to hold his hands up.
Aye.
But then you see Big Ngannou, he knows how to box.
Aye.
You know what I mean? He's got that style.
Is he a stand-up fighter in MMA?
I know he's a powerhouse. He's a knockout guy in MMA. So
Mike Tyson, I was training him for that fight and learned him a lot, eh?
because he was smaller, and I think Tyson obviously said to Ngannou, look, and Ngannou is very strong, see, like, and I think this is where I think Fury underestimated him. Tyson Fury a lot holds on to people, and that I usually know this as boxers.
I use his weight,
and it kind of drains your energy.
Your legs, I don't try to hold up.
Ngannou, because he's a cage fighter, was able to.
And I don't think Fury's punches were having any effect on Ngannou either.
Aye. Because obviously John Jones, I love John Jones, right? You know, maybe don't know him, but he's like a really big guy in the UFC.
He's a legend, isn't he?
Aye, he's the best fighter I've ever seen, but he said, I wouldn't go. He's like, I wouldn't want to fight. Like, if you want to fight, come in and fight me and my MMA. And I don't think Fury would do that. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, I think, I used to see it years ago with Jake Paul and Logan Paul and that. I think McGregor against Mayweather said, oh, that Mayweather generated that much money for Mayweather to call McGregor to call Mayweather, who's to the big money.
It's all about money.
They start talking about boxing when they want a big payday, I think.
See if they made, you're talking about it, Sean, see if they made it one sport against the other sport and you could day your sport, but these made up fights are all boxing now.
Aye.
But see if you see the, because that's what I'm saying, if they go to you in the grun, you'd be knackered, you know what I mean?
But Mayweather's not that stupid they would get into.
No, but I'm saying most
McGregor's calling him it. So that's how he.
I seen Tony Bell, you said basically he was laughing, right? When he's obviously, because Tyson Fury says, I'm going to go into the cage with John Jones, and Tony Bell, you was like, Tyson, mate. Don't these guys fucking rip limbs off, man. Like he was laughing at it. And I think you guys as boxers would probably know going into an MMA setting probably wouldn't work as well as...
I know there's a lot of skill here, but it's just like a street fight is. Boxing's like a game of chess.
Aye.
It's more skill than what people think in boxing. And say MMA or UFC is a harder sport, I don't think so. With the five rounds, a lot of them roll about in that. But there's more fatalities and injuries in boxing, but there isn't in UFC.
Aye.
Because it's damage that's getting done.
I know.
That you don't see.
Aye.
You see all UFC split noses, broken noses and everything like that, but they stop the fight.
A lot of it's on the ground and all that. A lot of it's kind of, so I'm going to just ask you, like, who's your favourite boxer, Drew? Who's your the best you've ever seen?
My idol and... The guy that kind of I watched when I was growing up, my dad, same as boxing, that was Muhammad Ali.
Aye.
I've got a tattoo in my leg of Muhammad Ali, so I loved him. Man,
a lot of boxers are like that with Muhammad Ali.
Aye. He set the mark for making money and all that. You know what I mean? He done that. See, like, say, Nassim Hamed.
Aye.
Prince Nassim, you know what I mean? He's copying him, you know what I mean? And make jump on the ropes and making money. And we were never like that.
He says he done it for every sport, Sean C. Muhammad Ali. He made a personality.
Aye.
Made personalities out of people, and it was brilliant. I loved his faith and his beliefs and all that. I know. Mm-hmm. And he was a strong man. What he believed in, I loved that about him.
Aye, he was ready to go to the firing range and get shot for because he wasn't going to Vietnam.
I know.
He says, I kind of got on a bus in America to sit with white people, and you're telling me I've got to fight, I'm going to die. He says, I'll die for my beliefs.
Legendary, I think it's brilliant.
He brought character in every sport and personalities and that. Made them celebrities.
It's his belief. He was 100% willing to die.
Aye.
Not to go to Vietnam. Aye. You know what I mean?
And I think that's, if you go obviously political, it's such a hard thing to do.
Aye.
And obviously, like, legendary, like, it's amazing thing to day. What about yourself, Andy? Who's your favourite boxer? Who do you think, like, who's your idol?
Oh, Manny Pacquiao.
I thought it was me.
It's Drew Dockery. And I'm Manny Pacquiao for me.
Aye.
I absolutely love Manny Pacquiao.
Aye.
Since I remember just watching him.
Aye.
Just as a wee guy when I first, before I even started boxing, to be honest, man, watching him. So, oh man, this guy's class. My brother loved Ricky Hatton. And I remember they were fighting each other and I was it. Nah, Pacquiao. Bro, I was a massive Hatton fan. We used to go to the ice cream van and go get a pint of, like, obviously, Mr. Whippy ice cream. And then bring it up the road. We'd sit in the freezer and we'd wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and go watch fights. And I was at Manny Pacquiao day, and when he knocked him out, man, it was an awful knockout, but He was obviously upset, but I was absolutely buzzing. I was like, woo, let's go.
My favourite's probably Julio Cesar Chavez.
Aye.
He was brilliant. They talk about Floyd Mayweather.
See Paraguay? Was it Paraguay? Mexican, was it?
But they talk about Floyd Mayweather 50-0. He was 89-0 at one
point.
Was he? Aye. He fought everybody, fought all the world champions.
Where was he? What was the generation?
80s, early 80s.
Pernell on that, wasn't it?
Fought everybody. He fought Mildred Taylor, and Mildred Taylor was giving him a doing for 12 rounds. He was, and Chavez never had the mark on him, but after Mildred Taylor came out with all these injuries, punctured lung, fractured jaws, broken ribs, and Taylor was beating him easy for 12 rounds and Chavez stopped him in the 12th round with a finish. When he punched you, it was like a kick for a mile away. He was only a wee guy same as me and all, but the power he had, it was amazing to watch.
89-0, that's crazy, because a lot of people talk about like Kozagi up the 49-0, obviously McGregor. 89-0 is a lot, isn't it?
89-0, and then you get
is that the best record ever then?
Probably 89-0, aye, probably, yeah.
Mayweather's 0,
isn't
he?
15-0. 15-0, aye. I mean, Mayweather
did
fight everybody
and all in that. Aye, he fought some champions.
He was really good.
He's one of my favourites as well.
Aye. The defensive, isn't it? Like, obviously, you guys will know Floyd Mayweather is really hard to hit. Obviously, it's a skill, but
early on in his career, he knocked a lot of people out, but get that many hand injuries, Sean, you had to start being more defensive.
Aye.
But he was a defensive genius, eh?
Oh, aye.
Should we see him against Canelo?
I know. No, he was different class. A lot of people say that it's like the same as you've got guys in, see that Khabib that beat McGregor?
Mm-hmm.
He's all about the ground jiu-jitsu and all that, and it's quite bold to watch, but you can't beat him. Do you know what I mean? I think McGregor would fight him 10 times, beat 10 times, but McGregor's an amazing...
McGregor was some character and all.
Oh, he's brilliant. I like
Money Mate. I loved his part. Love watching him.
He's one of the guys that probably I know had brought UFC.
Brought
McGregor, the UFC wasn't he really. Him and Dana White basically brought it out.
Aye, McGregor done a lot for that sport, eh?
Aye. Definitely. And do you know Eddie Hearn? Have you met Eddie Hearn in that?
No, aye. Just his dad.
You met him?
I've met him.
His dad picked me up in the limousine when I went to fighting Richie Wayne for the British title, man.
Barry. He seems like a kind of fair guy.
I
think Eddie Hearn's amazing, do you know?
Fair people, aye.
That's what all you're wanting, isn't it? Like, as a boxer, like, you just want...
He seems a very fair guy and good to his boxers, I think, yeah.
Aye, definitely.
You get that £1 billion deal, was it, with DAZN?
I've never heard that channel, but it just appeared for nowhere.
What do you call their network again?
DAZN.
DAZN. But he's done that with a lot of sports, didn't he? I'm sure he took darts there, didn't he? Was it his dad?
Aye. Our old promoter's into the darts one, aren't he? Tommy Gilmore, he's into darts now.
Is he? Aye.
He's Gary Anderson's manager.
Aye, so it's just kind of like...
Brought the razzmatazz, Sean. See the music and all that before it? Remember it used to be just Jockey Wilson on the thing? But now it's the music.
Everybody loves to go watch it. It's a party.
Aye.
I went to it at the Hydro and it was just like a night out. Do you know what I mean? It was brilliant. And I think that's obviously Eddie Hearn that's brought that. Yeah. Aye.
It's like only a football match, isn't it? Because see, I'm watching in the telly right, and I'm going... 100 and 8, right? But the guys are about 3 miles away and they're like, yo!
100 and 8.
Well, for a pint, you know what I mean?
I know. So, obviously, just kind of like, before coming up to the end of the podcast, it's just to kind of say, like, what kind of inspirations did you get for, like, boxing that anybody could, like, anybody that's watching this could maybe go, I'm going to do that. Maybe somebody that's low self-esteem, low, like, maybe mental health problems. How can boxing inspire you?
Can bring your own confidence wise, bring you your shell, you meet friends that you've got for life, and talk about that dedication, sacrifice and discipline. It helps you in all walks of life, and
making friends.
It's great for mental health and just going to the gym and being amongst people, friends of yours, and training, that it's brilliant.
Camaraderie is unbelievable. See, as we were talking about, you're not getting to spar night, you never washed your hands, and it's a laugh and it's a joke and that, but you're not getting to spar. But the camaraderie is amazing, man. See,
the people you meet in a boxing ring, they're pals for life, eh?
Pals for life. Aye. Even if you, I boxed a guy called Jimmy Mallon for Gallagate, right?
Aye.
And he beat me twice, right? And I thought I won one of them, right? Aye. But you know what we done, Sean? He said to me, Drew, how you doing? He was on the Facebook. He says, aye, how you doing, Drew? I says, I'm all right. He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm coming up to Glasgow. He was in London at the time. Aye. He says, I'm coming up to Glasgow and I'm going to climb Ben Nevis with my boy. Aye. I says, right, I'm doing it with you, with my boy. So we done aye, it. Aye. The four he's done it, climb Ben Nevis.
We were doing it at Harringay Cup and he came to see us,
you know
London.
What I mean? When he was doing it in London.
And this is, guys, you're fighting, so it's like, aye.
I get beat twice with him, right? Aye. I still carry him. I says, aye, I beat you that time, but I know you beat me the other time.
Of pals that I've boxed that I'm friends with now on Facebook, and there's hundreds, eh?
Aye.
You have a bit of banter with still at this day. Brilliant.
So
the respect you've got for each other.
So like would you advise anybody to kind of try it out? Like even just to kind of come and try the...
Aye, definitely try it and go down just even to train and just be in that gym atmosphere. It's
because you guys
are running the gym now,
like obviously we could talk about that actually. Like, how's that going? Is it Golden Gloves?
Aye, Francie and Jerry Donachie's and Johnny Heaney's club, they started it off and some gym. You can't get moving in the place, can you?
Don't forget Big Joe, man.
Big Joe McCuskey.
Big Joe will absolutely shoot you.
Light heavyweight, ABA champion. Aye, it's brilliant. It's mobbed. They've got saunas, showers, and kind of get in the place for people.
It's really busy now. It's a great thing to do. Like, see if, would, it might not be for you, right? But see if you come down, it's good for fitness. It's just
even
and then you
fit.
Do meet, right? I must admit that my best pal is Drew's son, right?
Aye.
Where did I meet him? At the boxing.
Aye.
Like, and he's been my best pal. He's a good couple of years younger than me, maybe three, four years aye, younger than me. And he's been my best pal ever since.
He was in
Prime, maybe I met him when he was in like first year at high school, man. I'm in like fourth, fifth year or something like that. And I'm like, what's happening? But now he's my best pal, you know what I mean?
Sparring all together.
So it's obviously like, where is it? Is it Kilsyth?
Kilsyth, aye.
Yeah, doing it at Burn Green.
Doing it at Burn Green. And if you go to anybody else, bar Andy, who's maybe coming through, that you think.
There's loads of young boys, Dean Miller, Lennon, three young boys, Andrew, Elliot and Zane, they're wee crackers, they could do a lot in boxing. But the time will come where you'll see if they'll dedicate themselves or fall away, because in boxing, when you get to a certain age,
aye,
girls and drink, no, they, no, aye, mate,
it's all about the birds.
Me and Drew helped each other. My dad was a big boxing fan, so that helped us to stay in that pathway.
It's your
youth years. See when you get reach 18, the
aye,
pub's open.
Aye.
Your pals, that's what I'm saying. We're going out of our pals. We're away with the boss again, away to training.
Aye.
And they're away getting a carry out and all that, you know what I mean? And you've got to have that dedication. But at that age, 18 and that's the biggest fallout.
A lot of people kind of fall away from it at that age.
Aye.
It's a testing time at that age.
Aye.
When they start drinking, when they start going out with girls.
You've never had a drink, though.
No, that's fine. That's clearly why I'm still here.
Is there if you've got like any projects or anything that's ongoing there or anything that's kind of in the pipeline?
We've got championships coming up for our club that's all over Scotland at Ravenscraig. Right. That's next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Aye.
Intermediates, eh?
Intermediates.
So we've got five or six boys fighting that.
Aye, that'll be
we had them through it.
Sparta
Boxing Club in Grangemouth on night for sparring. Great new gym it's just opened up.
Aye.
Got all the five boys there sparring. It was brilliant. It's great getting away with the boys and going to different places and seeing them sparring, boxing against boys I've no done it against.
It's on Facebook, Sean. You can see it. You can watch it on Facebook.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Anything like I've got that you want to kind of promote it, like, do you know what I mean? Where can the people see it on Facebook?
Kilsyth Golden Gloves have got their own Facebook page.
Right. So anybody that wants to come
down, anybody wants to come down, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the normal boxers, alright? That's between the young boys, it's 6 to about 7. Normal training, I normally go down at 6:30, but so say then that's about 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
He's always late.
Monday. No, do you know why I'm late? Because you pick me up. See if I drive, I'm early. And then Tuesday Thursdays is a fitness night, or some called it old man night, but it's not just old men, it's, no, it's men, women, whoever wants to come, everybody. Just for like kind of bulk fitness.
If you ever wanted to keep fit, you'd love it.
I know, I see the
exercise in the day, it's hard going for the minute, and it's brilliant.
Jerry Dunne could take it. It's just
that.
Circuits.
Aye.
And it's horrible. It ruins your life, but it's great. See, after you're like, that was fantastic.
I'm gladder than that.
But see, every time like you do something, you're like, see, when you're out running in the morning, you're going, why the fuck am I doing this? That's the question that goes through my head. Your alarm goes off at like 5 o'clock. You're like, mate, what is wrong with me? You're out running and you come home, you're like, I feel great. But at the time, you're going, fuck my day.
You've got to do your running and your training, Sean, because me and Drew, the boxing, see what, if you've got a 3 month camp, see if you miss one morning running.
Oh, it's in your brain.
Guilt. I'm not fat enough. You're paranoid now.
Is that?
And you, I need another. I wish I had another week so I could catch up with that run I missed.
Aye.
And it's all psychological.
I've always wondered how you could get so ready if box in like 6 weeks. Like 6 weeks doesn't seem long, do you know what I mean?
You're training three times a day.
Aye.
And you're dying up for 6 weeks is all right for a 6 round fight or something, maybe, but for a 12 round fight you probably need about 10 weeks.
And is that like, obviously, you've just talking through it. Well, so what would you do for like a real 12 round fight? What would your camp look like?
I fought once. You'd be training all different. You'd be running in the morning. You'd be training at night, sparring. Or you build up to the camp till you get fit enough to start sparring, and then you peak at the right time. Then you stop sparring at a certain time, just a week or two before the fight, all the hard work's done.
Aye,
and then you're ready to go. I had a fight, 12 round fight, mine against Paul Harvey for that title, now only 3 weeks notice. But Peter Harrison was my coach, and he made sure I was doing for 3 weeks 24 rounds of punching a day. Doing two fights a day for 3 weeks training with Peter Harrison.
Peter's a great trainer.
So I'd be ready, because only the short time, so he made me do two fights punching every day.
That's what I'm saying, Sean. See, about, we were talking about earlier about reaching your peak too soon. You've got to take time off. Peter said to me a few times, Peter was my trainer.
Aye.
Peter Harrison and
him take a week off.
Peter said to me a few times, right, that's you, you're too fit. You need to take a week off. Take a week off.
That's mental, isn't it?
It's crazy.
So obviously, like, when you're these training camps, what kind of, is it diet and all that? Is that just as much kind of, like, because you used to see Ricky Hatton, right? Ricky Hatton, when he wasn't fighting, he would be like,
I thought maybe Dad was going to train him, but he said nothing because how he blends up between fights, eh?
Is that what he said?
Still in the gym to this day, every day.
Aye.
He just keeps his weight down, he keeps in shape all the time. And
there's a lot of boxers.
It's hard, too hard to see when you gain too much weight and then try to take it off all the time. Aye. It takes too much out of you.
So is that what Ricky Hatton was doing? Would that be really hard? What he's doing, going away?
Aye, ballooning up and then having to go off.
See, dehydration, Sean, that's a big danger in boxing.
Is it?
Aye, because you've got to make that weight.
Aye.
You know what I mean? And you've got to, in the first place, you lose fluid. It's your brain.
Aye.
Your brain floats in fluid.
Aye.
And that's the first place that I've been told.
Aye.
That your fluid.
Aye, it goes.
It takes away.
It goes, aye. When you're dehydrated.
So see, when you're trying to make a weight.
And your diet's a big thing.
And you're maybe a couple of, how much can, like say you don't drink water, how much can that take off you?
Me and Drew have been going training and losing like half a stone in training session.
Easy.
And I went to India and we got there and...
Half a stone of wedges.
I got there, India. I got to India for the World Championships and me, Paul, we was 5 pound overweight and I was 7 pound. And the boy said, I said, sorry, Paul, we've got 26 hours. The guy said, no, you've got 2 hours. I was half a stone overweight. I had to go out 3 runs in India. waterproof stone in the heat and lost it. But I used to go down for 9.5 stone, 7.5 stone and all when I was light flyweight. And I was just like a skeleton with a hat.
Sounds
like
it's dangerous then, isn't it?
Like, Sean, see, like, when there was European fighting in Russia, you'd wake up in the morning, weigh in, right? And then you maybe get a wee tote of breakfast, and then after your fight, you'd have to train again, none eat till
the
next morning.
Wait the next day.
And even a drink of water.
That's what's a big problem.
Went to European Championships in Italy, and I checked the trial scales.
Aye.
And it was okay, and up the stair and brushed my teeth, and it was just back down on the scales. What about an ounce overweight was going on? I just gone out, and the boy says, you know, box all the way to Italy. The other team never got to box.
I was there, I was European Championship, so it's 2 hours. He was light flyweight, I was flyweight. I said to Wilson, you didn't make
and
it.
And just hovered.
I'm not brushing that wee bit of water. See, your body's like a sponge. Aye. Any wee bit of water.
So just brushing your teeth, put
I shoot for the guy, the Frank Henry, the president, he says, don't worry wee man, clap him in the head and keep training, you're going to Greece for a Coppers Cup as soon as you get back. I was like, no more dieting.
See, to be honest, right, you've gave me the fear. Did you not see every morning I fight, I don't brush my teeth because of that?
Right.
Is it? I eat chewing gum, but I won't brush my teeth. I've got the fear, man. I'm like, well, I'm not fucking putting no water near in my mouth.
Make sure
I just put chewing gum and I'm like this. trying to brush my teeth with it.
You wouldn't see that, but you do see.
You see the actual training and the dieting, that's the hardest part of boxing. Oh, I used to go to the gym, all the cookers were in the kitchen and doing croy, big Bunsen burners, big food, and you're in there and you're skipping. What have you had to eat today, Olsen? Fling the skipping ropes, fucking half an apple.
honestly, man, that's the hardest thing.
Ah, it must be, man.
I used to go to work with Frank Lafferty, and I used to go to work and come back and get two pieces for my dinner.
You used to eat grapes for your lunch at work?
Grapes and for your lunch and all that.
So the best thing, see, when you box, you better eating pasta all the time, eh?
Aye.
That's why endurance marathon runners and Tour de France cyclists just fill themselves with that.
Aye.
It's carbohydrates, eh?
Because obviously nowadays probably use, and they might see it more, but use probably didn't have that, like the dietitians and all that kind of stuff, like the way nutritionists and all that. Or did you have that?
We did.
To James Patterson, God rest him, great guy. He was your sponsor. He took his brother, eh?
His brother's a
professor.
Professor, but he knew dietitians in his work, and he got as a dietitian.
So was that kind of before even MD was doing that, Drew? You were doing that?
I think so, because nobody could afford him like that. So, but our sponsor paid him to help us. You know what I mean? So.
Because I was doing, like, obviously, I'm not, like, don't want to know him, but obviously, something new, up to you, so how he's, if he's what to say, but it wasn't the same kind of money as what boxing is now, you know? Like, there wasn't that much when you were boxing.
When we, 20 years ago, we boxed Ace, so it's a long time.
Aye.
Money has been up, but I don't think it's not that much.
So, obviously, is it one of these sports where like the top 1% get a crazy amount of money and it's like the rest?
You've got to be heavyweights. The bigger you are, the more money you
unless
get.
Unless you're an Asim Hamid or something.
Aye, you've got that show, that thing about you. And obviously, like Amir Khan and stuff like that, like he had that on, didn't he? Like he had that and all. He was getting it. So how much would they get roughly, do you know, for a fight? Like how much would like, just say Amir Khan,
I don't know if maybe we and Asim not get a million in that, eh?
Aye.
Big money like that. When he was at the end of his career with the top fights, eh?
Aye, because he was really good, wasn't he? He was brilliant. Aye. I mean,
Khan and that, they ended up getting their full families, didn't they? Didn't they? They ended up running the show with the media and all that as well, didn't they?
Aye. Well, Eubank star takes a lot to do with.
Aye, McGuigan
and Shane McGuigan, I know they've got their own.
Aye, Barry McGuigan, they've got. And I think they try and look after the boxers, don't they? Because even like I watch Chris Eubank, and a lot of guys see his mum that he worked with, the dad and all that, he's like a nightmare. But he's probably learned from getting bumped in that himself, that I'm not letting that happen to my boy, do you know what I mean?
It's experiencing. We've learned we can maybe pass on to Andrew in that way.
Aye.
Goods and bads, eh?
Definitely. So just as we're kind of coming to the end, right, I always just kind of give a guess like kind of last wee message and just something that's like kind of positive message for somebody, people out there that's kind of struggling or whatever, maybe something that like a wee message for them, that how boxing could change their life if they were just to kind of take a wee step into the gym.
Going to the gym and changing your mindset, training with boys, become pals with them, and just getting a wee bit of exercise, great for the mental health and everything. And it can help so much with the work ethic when they further on in their life, they work and all the rest of it. And it's just a confidence builder, and it's great in all aspects. Eh?
Aye.
Good for you.
Probably. It's the hardest game in the world, Sean, in my mind, right? But the the thing is, the camaraderie you've got. Aye. You have no liberty takers in boxing. They'll never be able to try to punch you in the nose. Maybe you don't deserve it. And see the, oh, it's unbelievable. So it is. Nobody try to do either. Always helpful. Aye. In a boxing gym.
Aye. Well, what were you saying? Did you, that your kind of similar message?
100%. I think you just need to try it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would quite enjoy that. I would at least try. Or if you don't think you would enjoy it, I would still try and come down. Maybe it's really, I think it's great.
You don't
for
need
like,
to box.
See
for your,
the mental aspect. I think it's just great. The determination you can get from it. Like
once you do go once, Andrew, it becomes addictive. Yeah.
It's addictive. Jink, I like running. Oh fuck it, I despise. Like seeing people tell you like, oh, you must love running. I was like, I fucking hate it.
Aye.
I was like, I do it because it's just to try and get into the mindset. Like, you know what you need to do. You know you need to run. You know you need to be at training. You know I need to diet. You know what I mean? It brings in like a pure good, like good morals. And like, I think it just brings in like a kind of good energy and good morals when you see other people trying hard. So
discipline's a big
thing. Oh, aye. You can see the boxers like, Where do you see your career going? What are you hoping for? Like, obviously,
I hope to go as far as possible. Like Drew Molson here, like aye. I would like to go as far as I can go. I would like to go win world titles or fight for them at least. You know what I mean? I want to push as far as I could go.
Aye. I have big ambitions.
He's not in his prime yet, and he's taking the right steps and fighting the right fights at the right times. Hopefully, going and fight for a British title and maybe win the Lonsdale belt outright like Drew.
Aye. Brilliant, that'd be excellent to see you. And obviously, if you do come on and you win the world title, we'll be back on here against you.
Of course, but if it's happening, I'm back.
We'll be carrying his bags.
Aye. Thank you very much, guys, for coming on. Honestly, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you very much.